Sometimes people, I think, wonder what ministers do during the week. Now, we see them do stuff on Sundays, but what do they do during the week? Well, like every job, it involves going to meetings. Some of those meetings are really good meetings, and others of those meetings are sort of poke your eye out with a blunt stick sort of meetings. But I've got a meeting coming up this Wednesday, which is a good meeting. And it's called the ACT Partnership Group meeting. And it's a meeting that brings together representatives from community groups from around this area, whether they're neighbourhood houses or health services or the police and or government departments, Department of Housing, things like that. And it's a great chance for us to network together, to share what's going on, to identify common issues, to be able to communicate and find out answers to questions, all those sorts of things. And this ACT Partnership Group meeting has been going for probably, 10 years now or something like that, and it sprung out of a thing that happened started over 10 years ago called Neighbourhood Renewal. And I mention that because it has some tangential connection to our theme for the year. Who can tell me what our theme for the year is? Renew. Excellent. And we've got a little logo for it as well. And so Neighbourhood Renewal Project happened here, and it happened over a number of years, and they did community consultations and they identified things that needed to be changed and upgraded, and things that have changed, including service delivery and service provision, but also the physical environment has been upgraded as well, and we are reaping the benefits of some of that today. And in many ways, we can see as our church building project as a continuation of that. We're helping to renew the area and renewing facilities that will be available to many of these groups that we interact with in these partnership networks that we are a part of. You see, people, just whether they're religious or not, know that things need to be renewed from time to time, don't they? And I watch a bit of television, and I've seen some ads for a new TV show on Channel 7 2, I think it is, and it's about, it's Dr. Daniel Lanza, and it's about plastic surgery. And that reminded me, because he actually, when I was running my Kumon business, and when Stonington Baptist was in Armidale, down on Glenferrie Road, there was a big, ritzy, expensive-looking building with Dr. Daniel Lanza plastered all over the outside of it, where people would go to get their faces renewed. Well, at least winding back the wrinkles for some time. Right? Now, I'm not going to ask here who's had plastic surgery. Right? It's clear that I have. Well, I've had the sort of medical plastic surgery, not the cosmetic one, in that I've had, bits of skin cancer cut off my nose and skin moved from here to here and things like that. So I can say I've had plastic surgery and a bit of a facelift, things like that. You probably couldn't tell, but people think, yeah, I need to experience renewal on both a community level and on an individual level. And we saw last week that God is a God of renewal. So how can we cooperate with the renewing work that God might want to do in us as individuals or as communities, as a church community or even as a wider community? Well, there's a passage in the Bible that is very well known to people when they want to think about renewal or maybe revival. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start saying the reference of the passage. And if you recognise it, you can start saying it along with me. Now, you may not get it, that's all right. But it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. It goes like this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, you may not have remembered the reference, but many of you would have said, oh yes, I've heard that verse many times. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And if we
If you want to like have a look at a bit of the Bible that is speaks in detail to the process of revival or the process of renewal, it's Second Chronicles. It was put together and assembled after the Israelites had gone into exile, after the temple had been destroyed and they're in Babylon. We don't know exactly when it happened, but it was written from after that experience looking back. Now, when you get to the end of the Second Chronicles, we know in history that the Jewish nation had ended up turning against God and sinning against God so much that they went into exile and the temple was destroyed. But in between times, there were periods of renewal, which point to, and we can learn from, about how to engage in the renewal that God wants to bring. See, the verse before verse 14 is, surprisingly enough, verse 13. You can tell I was a maths expert with engineering, can't you? When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name. So this verse is speaking into a national experience, a time when people need renewing, they need reviving, they need healing. Now, we've been reinforcing and thinking about the fact that everything begins with God, right? The whole universe begins with God, and each of our days begins with God. And if we are aware of it and connected to it, every part of our day begins with God, whether it's a meeting or a sermon or a dinner or whatever else, everything begins with God. And so renewal begins with God. And God is the one who does the renewing. We can't force it to happen. We can't mandate the way it looks. But we can position ourselves to be open to receiving God's renewing work. And if you read through 2 Chronicles, that's exactly what they did. And God did renewing in different ways. Sometimes it looked like God would, the renewing would be that God would delay judgment, or that God would heal a king, or that God would dramatically defeat their enemies, or God would bring them into a time of prosperity. The renewing looked different each time, and they couldn't mandate what it would be, but they could open themselves to receive it. And that's exactly the same with you and me. We can't mandate what our renewal will look like, what God in his infinite wisdom and mercy says, when I'm renewing you, this is what it will look like. If you're sick in a hospital bed, or if you're stressed out by your terrible teacher at school, or you're just overwhelmed by work, or you're sleep deprived because your young kids wake you during the night, or whatever else it is, the renewal work that God will be wanting to do in your life will be specific to you, and it may not actually be the way what you would have hoped to be done. But God in his wisdom knows what's best for you at that moment. We can't force God's renewal. We can't determine what it will be, but we can position ourselves to be open to receive it. And this verse tells us how to do that. If my people who are called by my name, notice it starts with who they are, which is based on God's action, right? Everything begins with God. Will humble themselves. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you read through 2 Chronicles after verse chapter 7, and it goes through the rest of Solomon's life, and then it's really the lessons after Solomon's life of the different kings, we actually see how these things play out. You see, if you know your history well, and you know, like people used to remember all the kings and queens of England, right? There was a little song that went, Willie, Willie, Harry, Steve, Harry, Dick, John, Harry, 3, 1, 2, 3, Ned, Richard, 2. I memorised it at one point, the kings, like from William of Orange in 1056 all the way. It's probably because I'm an Angophile, I don't know. Sad, I know too. Well, have you memorised the list of kings that went through in the nations of Israel and Judah? No? That's okay. After Solomon died, Rehoboam, his son, was appointed king. And the tribe of Judah accepted him, and Benjamin accepted him fine. And then they went and talked to the northern tribes, and there was some, the advisor said, what you should do is offer them a tax break. And now Rehoboam says, no, I want to show how big and strong and tough I am. I'm going to give them a tax hike. exactly not how to win friends and influence people. And so the 10 northern tribes said, stuff you, and they went off on their own. And Rehoboam wasn't a really wise or great king. And then God brought armies from Egypt to come and invade the southern part of Israel, particularly the areas where Judah lived and around the tribe, around the city of Jerusalem. And that's talked about in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And it says, so they're surrounded and they're worried whether they're going to be overrun or whatever else. And then the prophet Shemaiah, this is 2 Chronicles 12 from verse 5, came to Rehoboam and to the leaders of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak, and he said to them, this is what the Lord says, you have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak. The leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. You see, that's what humbling ourselves means. It means agreeing with God about God's assessment of the situation. Here was an unwise, selfish, bad king who had turned away from God, who had caused the kingdom to split, who was very self-focused, wasn't a servant leader by any stretch of the imagination. And in the crisis, when he's confronted with a need for rescue, where he's confronted with a need for renewal, where he's confronted for the need for revival, even he was able to do the first thing that we need to do to open ourselves to the renewing of God. And that is to humble ourselves, which means agreeing with God about his assessment of the situation and of us. They said, yeah, that's right, we have abandoned you, God. We deserve this punishment that's coming. We agree with you. And being opening ourselves to renewal starts with the recognition that we need renewal. Now, here's the thing. Some of us are quick on the uptake and some of us like to live in denial. Oh no, I don't need renewal. I'm fine, thanks. Oh no, I don't need renewal. I'm fine, thanks. But here's the thing. The sooner we recognize it, the sooner we can position ourselves to be open to God's renewing. There's a Chris, my wife, is a church health consultant, and there's lots of research being done about the about how churches go through their lives. And there's a life cycle of churches where they start and they figure out what to do, and there's rapid growth, and then there's a peak and there's a plateau, and then they start to decline. Right? Any time after here, the church needs renewing. Right? Some really wise churches say, yes, we need renewing, and they figure it out here at the top of the curve and they do something new and go into a new thing that God does. Other people say, oh yeah, we started to decline, so we'll need to do another new thing. Other people hold on all the way to the bottom. And sometimes the churches, the only way renewal happens is through death and resurrection of something new. It's in all of our interests, whether individually or corporately, to identify as early as possible the need for renewal. To agree with God, yes, things aren't as they should be. Or what worked isn't working anymore. Or we're exhausted or tired or broken or worn out or we're confused or whatever else. We need your renewing work, God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, agree with God about the assessment of the situation. Because let's be honest, God's assessment of our situation is much more reliable than ours. In the New Testament, we are encouraged not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Because let's face it, that's our tendency, isn't it? So opening to renewal is humbling ourselves before God and agreeing with God about the assessment of our situation, being brutally honest about the current facts. Abijah was a king who followed followed Rehoboam, and Asa was a king after that. And when you read through the stories, you'll see in emergencies, at two different times it says, one of them cried out to God, and the other one called on God. And they are expressions, if you like, of the second point, which is, if I humble myself and pray, call out to God. It doesn't have to be a sophisticated prayer. It doesn't have to be an educated prayer. It doesn't have to be an I'm a prayer expert sort of prayer. It can just be, God, help, sort of prayer. So we agree with God about our current situation, and then we say, God, help. We pray. And then the third one is seek my face. Everything begins with God, right? And renewal begins when we are with God. Renewal begins with God, and renewal begins with God. When you read through 2 Chronicles, I encourage you to do it sometime. It's not in, it'll, if you follow our daily Bible reading plan, it'll happen in the back end of this year. But what you will notice is that time and time again, prophetic words are vitally important in the process of renewal. Time and time again, prophets speak words that lead to people experiencing renewal. And this is no different in 2 Chronicles 15, where it says at the beginning of the verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. That is an amazing verse. We need to memorize that verse. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. It's worth saying again. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Now, this is not unusual, and this is not just the only place where this process of renewal starts with being with God. The classic verse in Matthew chapter 11 was, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Coming to be with Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, when we all with unveiled faces contemplate God's glory, when we're with God and contemplating his glory, we are transformed, we are renewed. You see, the steps to renewal are being open to God's renewal as a humble acknowledgement of our current reality, a calling out to God, and then taking steps to be more intentionally with God. You read through 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and what that meant, how they did that was, is that they got rid of the idols that were dotted all around the countryside. The things that took their attention, the things that they looked to for help or good harvests or fertility or good fortune or success in war or whatever else, they would look to their idols, and seeking God meant to stop seeking them. To being with God meant I'll stop seeking to being with those idols and rearrange their lives corporately, and they renewed their focus on the temple in Jerusalem. So there's things that they did to seek God. And by seeking God, it meant, how are we going to arrange our lives so that we will be more with God? And that's the next step for us in the process of renewal. How am I seeking to be with God? You see, in Mark, I think it's about chapter 4, when Jesus appointed his 12 apostles, he said he appointed them to be with him. That's the start of the discipling process, is an invitation to be with Jesus. And Jesus' last words in the Great Commission were, I promise, I will be with you till the very end of the age. So as followers of Jesus, as students of Jesus, we have an invitation to being with him, and we have a promise that he will be with us. Frank Laubach, who's a person that I've referred to a few times, wrote a little pamphlet called The Game with Minutes, and I've referred to that before as well. Disillusioned by all other efforts, we now see that the only hope left for the human race is to become like Christ. That is the statement of a famous scientist and has been repeated among even more educated statesmen and philosophers. Yet Christ has not saved the world from its present terrifying dilemma. The reason is obvious. Few people are getting enough of Christ to save either themselves or the world. Take the United States, for example. Only a third of the population belongs to Christian churches. Less than half of this third attend service regularly. Preachers preach about Christ, perhaps one service in four, 30 minutes a month. Good sermons, many of them excellent, but too infrequent in presenting Christ. Less than 10 minutes a week given to thinking about Christ by one-sixth of the people is not saving our country or our world, for selfishness, greed and hate are getting 1,000 times that much more thought. What a nation thinks about, that it is. We shall not become like Christ until we give him more time. A teacher college requires students to attend classes for 25 hours a week for 3 years. Could it prepare competent teachers, or a law school prepare competent lawyers? Some might ask whether any lawyers can ever be competent, but we know from personal knowledge that we have some excellent competent lawyers here in our congregation. No, he hasn't turned me off yet. If they only studied 10 minutes a week. Neither can Christ, and he never pretended that he could. The disciples were invited to be with him 24/7, 7 days a week, for up to 3 years. And they learnt to be with Christ all the time. And Christians down through the centuries have learnt to be with Christ all the time. And maybe one of the deepest and saddest things that we get wrong as Christians is that we ignore Christ for much of the time. And we have talked about this before, and we've encouraged and found ways that we can be more like Christ. And we want to keep doing that, because whatever your awareness and inclusion of Christ in your life is at the moment, it can be improved. You might think it's at a really low level, and yeah, I struggle to even do 10 minutes a week. Well, it's possible for it to get better for you. You might think, yeah, I'm doing pretty well, and I'm thinking about God 5 days out of seven, at least for some part of the day. Well, it's possible for you to get from 5 to 7, or to get from, you know, a bit of the day to more of the day. Because here's the thing, right? All of us have successfully formed habits to fill up our mind being with things for 168 hours every single week. Now, we weren't born with how our mind's attention is currently cast, right? It's a learned behaviour. Maybe not intentionally. And when you pause to think about it, you think, I've unintentionally walked into some pretty unhealthy habits. But here's the thing, if we've learned that habit, we can learn a different habit. And why would we do that? People who have practiced growing more intentionally in the presence of God grow. The results begin clearly in a month. They grow rich after 6 months and glorious after 10 years. Brother Lawrence, who was a humble dishwasher in a monastery, and I've talked about him before, he wrote The Practice of the Presence of God, definitely worthwhile reading the book. Just as he was going about his normal business, which included doing the dishes and going to buy wine, he would often say that the glorious presence of God was so strong in his life that he had to say, God, less. Please make it less. Let me tell you, that's never been my problem yet. But I aspire to that being my problem. Why should we want to learn the secret of being with God in more of our lives? Well, that's what it means to be a true friend with Jesus. Everything we undertake will run more smoothly. the Bible and the songs we sing will seem like different books. We'll have a deeper level of contentment, whatever our lot may be, because wherever Jesus is, there I am. It'll be easy to tell others about Jesus because our minds will be flooded with him. Grudges, jealousies and hatreds will melt away. Many of us will spend money to buy backstage passes to spend a few moments with our favourite music performer, or to get a front row seat. Well, who better to get a front row seat with? Who better to live our lives next to than Christ? It's the next step in opening ourselves to God's renewing work. Agreeing with God about his assessment of our current situation. And we can afford to do that because we're doing it with the God of hope. You know, sometimes we prefer to not think about our current situation and just sort of like sweep it under the carpet, hope it'll get better. And, you know, if we look at it, we just get too depressed. But here's the thing. With God, we look at our lives and our situations and we say, I can look at this with hope because however bad it is, God's power is stronger. However decrepit it is, God's renewing work can overcome it. I'm not looking at this just to make myself feel down, but I'm looking at it so I can agree with God and open myself to his amazing divine renewing work because God is a renewing God. And I know that in the future, his renewing work will be completed in my life in totality. I will be raised with him. I will have a renewed body. I will have a renewed mind. I will be like Christ and I will have an eternal sort of life that goes on forever. So that's sure. That's my destination is sure. And so I can be open to God. I can be with God and face some of the realities of what my current situation is actually like, to open it to God's renewing work. A simple prayer and then rearranging our lives to be more with Christ. You can do it. In the midst of your work, you can find yourself every few moments turning your mind to Christ while you're in the middle of your writing your report or driving your train or looking after the grandkids or selling whatever it is that you're selling. You can momentarily turn your mind to Christ and be aware that he's with you, helping to do whatever you're doing. You can be aware that it's like Jesus sitting in the passenger seat of the car next to you as you drive down the street, or walking around the aisle of the shopping centre with you holding onto the shopping trolley. Or running down the path that you're running on, or the bike you're riding, or at the gym when you're exercising, or when you're lying in your bed. It's possible for our lives to be permeated with a focus and an awareness on Christ while we're doing our actual lives. You see, we don't have to become like monks and hermits where we give up everything else to be with God. No, we can be with God in our actual real lives right now. So I encourage you, how are you going to do that? How are you going to practice and cultivate this habitual awareness of God in your life? Your attention is your most valuable resource, as we talked about last week. How are you going to invest that? We're actually going to have a season of focusing on this in Lent. Lent begins, I think, about the 26th of February. And we're going to hand out some resources. We're going to give people things that they can, going to give you things that you can do. And we're going to encourage you to even connect with some other people just for a period of Lent, for 40 days. Lent is typically a time where people give up things. You know, people give up chocolate for Lent or whatever else it is. Tim Tams. No, that's getting very close to the bone, right? I don't know whether that's actually a biblical thing or not. But this year, I want all of us to give up ignoring God. Give up being distracted from God. And let's spend those 40 days just working at developing a new habitual awareness of God being with us. Because we don't have to go out there and reach for God or discover God, because God has promised, I am with you. So the issue is not God's proximity. The issue is our awareness of God's proximity. And God is too much of a gentle person to force himself in your face. If you don't want to give God your attention, God will say, okay, and will weep. Because you're missing out, and I'm missing out on so much. So we will talk about this more over the coming weeks, but there's three simple things that we'll be working on at that time. The first one is you'll need periods of focus. And that'll be finding ways to regularly read and reflect on the life of Jesus. That can be reading this Bible, it can be looking at a movie adaptation of the life of Jesus, it can be listening to an audio recording of the Bible or whatever else. Then there'll be frequency. And there'll be lots of different things that we can suggest that you do that'll help you in your days to increase the frequency of your focus on Christ. Right, so you've got intense period when you're reading the Bible, and then things you can do during the day that are easier to do in the midst of everything else, and that they're designed to be frequent. And the final one is friends. And we're going to encourage you to form into small groups. And it might be as simple as we get in a WhatsApp group that you don't actually meet physically, but you're in a WhatsApp group and you're saying, this is the thing I'm going to experiment with today. Or I was reading the Bible this morning and this is what struck me about Jesus. And you can just, as a group, be sharing what you're doing and encouraging and praying for each other. You might want to get together over a cup of tea. But these groups aren't groups where you need an expert leader. They can sort of be self-organizing in many ways. And so we'd like you to be thinking about that. Yeah, I want to go on a 40-day journey, an exciting experiment of if I can just lift my awareness of the loving presence of God in my life a bit more by a period of focus, practicing some frequency, and doing it with some friends. And then we will be placing ourselves in a great place to be receiving the renewing work of God. Who knows what that will look like? But it will be good, because God is good all the time. We're going to be finishing our service with a song, Sinking Deep. And this is a song about being in God's presence. And Ed, could you just put up the words for us on the screen for a moment? It would be great. Standing here in your presence, in a grace so relentless, I am won by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy seas. Next one, thanks, Ed. I'm wide awake, awake to your presence with me, God, drawing close, stirred by grace. I breathe you in. God is closer than our breathing. I lean into your love, God, into your loving presence with me. Thanks, next one, Ed. See, God here is here with us. We find shelter in him. We're captivated by him, by the splendour of who he is. And we're learning to live the secret life of Christians, which is whatever our external circumstances, we are aware of Christ with us and within us. You might feel like you're far away from God this morning. God is actually closer than your breathing. You might think, yeah, well, I've been close to God, but I've been distracted by other things. Or I'm close to God, but I want to be more aware of the radiant love and goodness of God's life with me. Whatever your current position, this song can be a prayer that says, yes, God, I want to go more with that with you. Let's stand together and sing.